The epistle is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 15. Brethren, I make known unto you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast after what manner I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he was seen by Cephas, and after this by the 11. Then was he seen by more than 500 brethren at once, of whom many remain until this present, and some are fallen asleep. After that he was seen by James, and then by all the apostles, and last of all he was seen by me, as one born out of due time. For I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace in me hath not been void. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Mark, chapter 7. At that time, Jesus, going out of the coasts of Tyre, came to Sidon, to the Sea of Galilee, through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring to him one deaf and dumb, and they besought him that he would lay his hands upon him. And taking him from the multitude apart, he put his fingers into his ears, and spitting he touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, Be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. And he charged them that they should tell no man. But the more he charged them, so much the more great deal did they publish it, and so much the more did they wonder, saying, He hath done all things well. He hath made both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. And looking up to heaven, he groaned and said to him, Ephphatha, which is, Be thou opened. And immediately his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spoke right. These words are taken from the gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, this upcoming Thursday, we will celebrate the feast of the Kyrie of ours, St. John Marie Vianney. St. John Vianney was born near Lyon in a little hamlet known as Dardilly in France on May the 8th in the year 1786. From an early age, he felt drawn to the priestly life, but several obstacles stood in his way. First of all, his family was very poor. The necessary schooling would have cost a great deal more than they could afford. Secondly, he had an almost insurmountable inability to master even the rudiments of Latin, which of course is a language so necessary in the life of the priest. And finally, he was drafted into Napoleon's army at the age of 22. Now, as a student for the priesthood, he should have been exempt from military service. But Napoleon, in his persecution of the church, had removed this prohibition. But St. John persevered through all these trials and setbacks, and with the help of God, his Blessed Mother, and his own strong devotion to the glorious martyr St. Philomena, he persevered and he was ordained to the priesthood on August 12th in the year 1815. After 3 years of being a priest, he was sent to a most obscure town in the southeast of France. It was little known, and it numbered hardly 250 people. The name of the town or village was Ars. He was sent there in 1818, and it was so remote that the new curé, or parish priest, actually lost his way while trying to find it. When he did find Ars, though, it was unknown to the world, and it was suffering from spiritual lethargy. Few of the townspeople ever went to Mass. Most were deeply attached to habitual sins of every kind. But by the time of his death, 44 years later, in 1859, all of this would be changed. From being an obscure hamlet, ours would now be the destination for no less than 20,000 pilgrims each and every year. From various nations of Europe and as far away as North America, men and women would travel to ours to stand in line for hours just to make one confession to the curé. What St. John Vianney did at ours is no less than miraculous, and it shows what a holy priest can accomplish with God's grace and his own efforts. When he arrived in 1815, ours could boast of less than a handful of Catholics. But by the time of his death, on August the 4th in 1859, ours numbered now only a handful of apostates or negligent Catholics. And so great was his effect on the people that the devil once proclaimed to the saint that if there were three priests like him in the world, Satan's kingdom would be finished. Now imagine that the devil attested to this in the wake of the French Revolution and during the beginning of the Age of Enlightenment, at a time when we would think that he was making the greatest advances in the world. He actually said that his kingdom would be ruined if there were only three men like the Curie of Ars. The life of the Curie of Ars then is truly admirable. When we think of the 12 to 18 hours a day that he would spend in the confessional, the sermons that he gave, and the wisdom that he passed on during instruction of over 44 years as a priest, we can see that he made a great use of the gift of speech. And in today's gospel, we hear of our Lord returning the gift of speech to the man who was deaf and dumb. And what a gift this is to be able to use our tongue for speech. It is a gift among others that separates us from the rest of the world's creation. No other creatures on earth can make themselves known and intelligible through speech. No other creatures in this world can communicate to each other by speech as we can because of the spiritual faculty of our intellect. And my dear friends, as we consider the life of St. John Vianney, and for that matter, the lives of all the great fathers and doctors of the church, we begin to realize that we must thank God for giving them the gift of speech so that they could pass on so much knowledge and wisdom to us. Ultimately, when we consider the life of Christ himself, how grateful we must be for our Lord's entire teachings and doctrine were given to us through his preaching and teaching. As we consider then what a great gift it is to be able to speak to one another, there are some very sobering words of St. Alphonsus de Liguori which we should also keep in mind. St. Alphonsus once told his people that the dumb man stood in need of a miracle to loose his tongue and to take away the impediment under which he labored. But how many there are, the saint adds, on whom God would confer a great grace if he bound their tongue, that they might cease to speak. Now, St. Alphonsus was specifically referring to those who speak immodestly, but his words can be applied to all those who use their tongue to offend God. And speaking of those who speak immodestly, that is, those who entertain immodest or impure jokes, or those who corrupt others with their impure conversations, St. Alphonsus actually calls them the mediators of Satan. He clarifies this by saying that the devil will often tempt others with his suggestions, but at times these produce no effect. When the evil one fails then in this attempt, it is men who take up this cause for him. By their inappropriate conversations, they lead others into sin who the devil could not. And for those who do the devil's work, then, we can see why St. Alphonsus would say that it would be a miracle of grace to have their tongues tied. But it is not only those who speak immodestly who offend our Lord. The great St. John Vianney, whose life we considered earlier, spoke at great length about the need to control our tongue. He said that the great bulk of malicious talk is done by people who are simply irresponsible, who have an itch to chatter about others without feeling any need to discover whether or not what they say is true or false. He then added very simply, they just have to talk. And in this class, there is room for many souls to examine their own conduct. Do we ever find ourselves talking about things that we should not? Do we find ourselves speaking uncharitably or critically of others? Do so-called jocose lies creep into our conversations for the sake of amusement, or what we might call white lies for the sake of pride, fear, or vanity? We should reflect on our own conduct in these matters. For the Kyrie of ours stated that a great many people slander others because of pride. They think that by depreciating others, they will increase their own worth. They want to make the most out of their own alleged qualities, he says. He sums up the idea by saying that if people do not learn to control their own tongues, they will soon conclude that everything that they say and do is good, while everything that others say and do will be wrong. And he warns us of falling into such traps, and he would have us remember that even though these might be slight faults in the beginning, they begin habits of a loose tongue that we will find one day extremely hard to break. All these detractions, then, calumnies or lies which one may commit are still sins which offend a good God who is already far too offended by the rest of man. All sins of the tongue are also a disservice to our fellow man, for we have it in our power to do either great good or great harm through the gift of speech. If we seek, then, always to tell the truth, to speak modestly and decently, we will be honoring God and keeping His commandments. And we will be using the gift of speech for a noble and honorable purpose. If, on the other hand, we do not control our tongue, we can ruin our own hopes for salvation and do great harm to others. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiasticus gives us a very emphatic picture of what happens when others hear our inappropriate words. The stroke of a whip, says Ecclesiasticus, maketh a blue mark, but the stroke of a tongue will break the bones. That is to say, if one were to strike another with a lash, it would only leave an impression on the skin. But when one talks sinfully around others, they break down their very ability to stand, especially to stand up to temptation and sinful thoughts. Let us then, my dear friends, today be inspired by the life and the works of the great saints like the Kyrie of ours. They had the power of speech, and they used it to honor God and to increase His glory amongst men. Let us do the same. Whether it's a matter of speaking charitably, or whether it's a matter of speaking purely and chastely in all things, we must make sure that we never use the gift of speech to offend God. Let us always then speak as befits good Catholics, so that like the man in today's gospel, it can be said of us, he spoke right. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.